Listening to Latinos in Arizona, today on The World. I'm Marco Werman. We're devoting the show today to Latino voters in Arizona and the issues that matter to them this election year, like immigration.
For 20 years, I've been begging Republicans and Democrats to fix this issue for 20 years.
Arizona has voted Republican for several presidential elections in a row. This year, it could be a toss-up because of a surge in the number of Latino voters there. But if you think Arizona Latinos are always liberal, think again.
I still think most Latinos, they are Republicans. They just don't know it. They're conservative because we are pro-familia, pro-life, and we're very self-reliant.
Our forum with Latino voters in Phoenix, Arizona, today on a special edition of The World. We're focusing all this hour on a key state this presidential election, Arizona, and specifically on Latino voters there and the issues that matter to them. This is crucial this year because Arizona has been a pretty solid red state in recent years, voting Republican in 15 of the last 16 presidential elections. But Latino voters could, if they vote in big enough numbers, change that. They could potentially fork over Arizona's electoral votes to Hillary Clinton and turn Arizona into a purple state. What you'll be hearing this hour is a forum we held with our partners at the BBC World Service. It was recorded before a live audience earlier this week. The venue? The theater at the Salvation Army Croc Center in Phoenix. To everyone in the theater, thank you for being with us. So we're a month away from the 2016 presidential election, and this is what we want to try and accomplish in the coming hour. The presidential campaigns have pushed immigration and the U.S.-Mexico border to the front of the national discussion, not to mention the international discussion. And this is happening at a time when America is changing. In Arizona alone, there are at least 130,000 new registered voters. And we came to Arizona, to Phoenix, to South Phoenix specifically, the heart of the Latino community, to find out why and what is at stake, not just for Latinos, but for everyone. Is this race in Arizona a peek into the future of America? I'd like to introduce now our guests on stage. To my left, Ben Monterroso, executive director of Mi Familia Vota, running campaigns to register Latino voters. Alice Lara, co-hosts a conservative talk show here in Phoenix called Chips and Salsa. Sergio Arellano is the Arizona State Director of the Republican National Party. To his left, Antonio Tony Valdovinos runs an organization, La Machine, to elect Democrats and progressive candidates to office in Arizona and beyond. And finally, Angela Cocherga, director of the Borderlands Project at the Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University. You've been covering border issues for over 25 years. Welcome to you all. Angela Cocherga, you conducted a poll about what Latino voters care about. Tell us what it suggests, that poll.
Yeah, so the poll was really a border poll. We've heard so much about the border. We decided it was important to go down and actually talk to people who live on the border. And by default, you're right, that area is heavily Latino. The polling showed that people on the border felt that their issues were not being addressed, that they were being left out of the debate and ignored. They also, you know, the big famous question about building a wall, well, overwhelmingly people said we don't want a wall, not because people want open borders, but they felt that the wall was a very simple solution to a very complex problem.
And Angela, what surprised you most about the results of that poll?
One woman in particular stood out. She lives in a house where there was a tunnel, one of the longest tunnels that were ever connected Mexico and Arizona. She said, you know, here's proof that walls don't work. But she also said the U.S. really has to come to terms. And these candidates are not addressing the issues that are fueling demand for labor, having immigrants are coming because people are hiring them. And, of course, demand for drugs, which is fueling huge, huge criminal organizations.
So those are some of the concerns. Let me turn to the next step, which would be Tony Valdovinos. You get people registered to vote. Talk about that and the challenges, and why do people want to vote?
Well, I think it's a big year. It's 2016, and I think a lot of people are much more activated this year to vote against Donald Trump versus voting for a candidate that they felt was that spoke to their issues. The biggest challenges of registering people to vote is apathy. And it's heartbreaking. It really is. You know, today I just I went to get a smoothie, and we're always asking anybody and everybody we meet to register to vote. And this young lady was 18, and she said she didn't want to vote because she felt that the presidency was predetermined. And so that's the biggest challenge, is apathy and this very effective method of keeping younger folks away from wanting to participate in elections.
Let me just turn to the audience quickly. For those of you who are registered to vote for the first time, what pushed you?
My name is Cisco. I'm a senior at ASU, majoring in criminal justice. And what prompted me to vote this year, just seeing how people are treated unfairly in the community, I think that's more than enough to get anybody riled up and do something to make change.
Did you register for a party?
Yes. I registered as a Democrat. I'm a first-generation American, so I don't have any political history with my family or anything like that. They're uneducated when it comes to this, so I had to research on my own.
I saw another hand that was raised from a gentleman from Sudan.
Yes, my name is Deng Atim. I'm one of the lost boys of Sudan. I came to the United States in 1995 to Arizona Strait. I finished my high school year in Arizona, and I went to Arizona State University where I got my bachelor's in political science. Well, I become a U.S. citizen last year, and I'm very interested to vote this year. I'm very eager to do that because I want to vote, and I already decided. I already determined that I'll be voting for Hillary Clinton for this year.
Let's move on to a really big question. What is at stake, not just for Latinos, but for everybody in Arizona? Sergio Arellano and Alice Lara, you are both Republican supporters. It's a divided party nationally and in Arizona. It's a party of mainstream Republicans like Senator John McCain, but also now of Donald Trump. Alice, what's at stake for you?
What's at stake is the direction of our country. And it's so interesting. First of all, thank you very much for having us here. I know Sergio and I are very excited to be among this panel. We're kind of outnumbered big time, and I live in this community. But thank you very much for having us here. And I think we have a lot of the same, it's interesting, it's a lot of the same opinions. We all want secure borders, but we need to have a rule of law or it won't happen. And we've let it get out of hand. There's plenty of blame to go around on both sides of the aisle. There really is. But that's what's at stake for me. We need to preserve our Constitution, and the United States, I still believe, is the greatest country in the world. And as Republicans, you know, and I still think most Latinos, they are Republicans, they just don't know it. They're conservative because we are pro familia and we're pro life, and we're very self-reliant. And of course, if I could convince all of you to become Republican, I would, and you're not. But I respect your right, and at least you're engaged and involved.
Sergio Arellano, what's at stake for you as a Republican supporter?
Marco, let me tell you, first and foremost, my duties here for the state of Arizona, I'm the Strategic Initiatives Director, which places me every single day on the ground, on the grassroots, in majority-minority areas. When we're out here and we're talking about people that feel disenfranchised, the Latino community has been taken for granted by the Democratic Party. When I'm out knocking on doors, listening to people speak and their opinions, they say, "You are the first Republican I've ever seen in my life, and you're coming out here and you're knocking on my door. Why is that? How come I've never seen a Democrat come knock on my door?" And they're being taken for granted because the Democrats have given the narrative so well that they are the party of the Latino, that they are at every naturalization ceremony, that they're at every parade, they're at every fiesta, they're at every float. But what we're finding is that's not the case. And what's happening is the Democrats take that vote for granted and don't go out to the communities that see impoverished communities falling apart with lack of roads, lack of infrastructure, lack of employment. And the Republicans, because they bought into that narrative, they don't show up because they say, oh, you know, they're going to vote Democratic anyway. Why should we show up?
So in the year of Donald Trump, I mean, Alice, you said you felt outnumbered even though you live in this neighborhood, but are you seeing first-time Latino voters, either of you, who are leaning toward Trump and the Republicans? I mean, what is Donald Trump offering Latinos?
Donald Trump, what he offers for Latinos, and there are a lot of Latinos who are for him because they see their jobs being taken away by a lot of the illegal immigrants, and, you know, it shouldn't be that way. And he's the first person to come out and actually address this issue. And that's what really sprung him into popularity. And a lot of it is because of the Latino population. And I also think there is a little silent majority of Latinos who they don't want to say they vote for Trump because they know in their family, you know what, they're mostly Democrats. And they're afraid to say, maybe Sergio would agree with me. I don't know about this.
Most definitely.
Definitely right. But they support him. Okay, I'm sorry.
Did you want to say something, Ben?
I mean, I just feel that... when you see this man in June of 2015 announcing his campaign, insulting my mom, insulting my sister, and then asking for my vote, that is ridiculous. I mean, quite frankly, when he said Mexicans are sending the worst of the worst, guess what? Among those people that have no documents is my sister. And she's not the worst, by the way.
Ben,
She's just another casualty of the fact that we don't have immigration reform, that we have not been able to do it as much as we have been trying, we've been begging, we had the opportunity. Republicans are right now the controlling of the House and controlling of the Senate, and they haven't put any solution whatsoever, and excuses after excuses and trying to knock it down. And it's not that we are Latinos that not understand the political system. We do. We don't participate as much, and let me tell you why not. Because that is not that engagement year-round. Often the Latinos are being visited at their houses every 2 years when they need our votes. And that is what we need to change. That's what we need to change, because we need to hold elected officials accountable. So and when you said Donald Trump is offering us solutions, quite frankly, when he insulted all the community, I included and my mom, I'm not going
to
take that.
I'd like to come back to that.
Thank you for that, Ben.
Can I clarify the statement, though? Because that's a common misconception again. When Donald Trump was talking about Mexico sends the worst, he wasn't speaking about your family. He was speaking about the incorrigibles and the people that come here and that cause problems, the problems of illegal immigration. We're not talking about people who come here for a valid reason for a better life.
I
think
turn
the media has pushed that a little too
quickly
far.
To Tony Valdovinos and just get your reaction to what you've been hearing the last couple of minutes.
I think the Republican Party has just done snippets of messaging, right? Like they're taking our jobs and all these other things. And I think that's the only thing that has been said in this election. And you look at what's at stake. We're talking about the issues. We're talking about stories. We're doing the work. People are getting activated. People are getting, are going out there. And it also becomes a financial conversation where we have, we talk about the presidency and and Trump's credibility to managing this country's finances, and you look at him as a businessman. He has a long history of cheating people, and I just don't understand how that makes him qualified.
Let's pause before the break for some live music from our special guest, Gabby Moreno. When we come back, the border with Mexico and what's at stake for people who live here in Arizona. Gabby, take it away.
I once would receive invitations for cocktails on top of the Ritz. I'd take without hesitation all of the glamour and glitz.
You're listening to a special edition of The World, a forum I hosted earlier this week featuring Latino voters in Phoenix, Arizona. We discuss the issues that matter to them this presidential election year. We're back with much more after the break here on The World. Our focus this hour is on Phoenix, Arizona, where I hosted a forum earlier this week with Latino voters from across the political spectrum. Again, we're talking about the issues that are motivating Latinos to vote this election year. We're going to jump back in now. We'll hear two voices at the top of this segment. In a minute, Ben Monterroso, a longtime Latino voting activist. He's currently executive director of Mi Familia Vota, a group that works to register Latino voters in Arizona. But we begin with Sergio Arellano, Arizona State Director for the Republican National Party. Sergio Arellano, you're itching to comment.
I've been itching for a while, Markham. So if you're going to go and talk about how we have a majority in the Senate and Congress and the Republicans are evil, then we go back to the president who had a majority in Congress and Senate when he became president. And his only promise, his main number one promise, to bring forth immigration reform that has all of our people, all the Latinos in the community, just sitting idly by, was broken. He never pulled through. He doesn't talk about how John McCain, who's running here for the Senate for re-election, has been a champion of immigration reform. You have Republicans. We stand for fixing what's broken. Why not someone that grew up here that wants to serve his country? Why can't he be allowed to serve in the military, represent our nation as a soldier, as someone that wants to fight and bleed, kind of like I did, 10 and a half years in the infantry? Why not fix it and make it easier so that Nana and Tata, aunt, uncle, don't have to wait in line for 15 to 20 years? We care. So when you say that the Republicans aren't doing that, I don't know where you see that, but you should come down in our neck of the woods and see how we do it.
I've been doing this work for 20 years, my friend. For 20 years, I've been begging Republicans and Democrats to fix this issue for 20 years. And we have been building political power. This is the only first time that we didn't have to go and force the political candidates to start talking about immigration because of the way that Donald Trump is bringing this up. If you remember, in May of last year, how Hillary Clinton explained his campaign when she went and met with a bunch of dreamers in Nevada. That was a hope of relief for us. Sometimes I get a little concerned about how we are viewing the Latino community, the only one single issue that is moving us. It's not it. The Latino community has more issues.
You're talking about immigration.
Immigration is not the only issue that moves us. I want to see healthcare access for my family. I want to see education access and education for my kids. I want to see good jobs. But if you're going to ask my son or my daughter, what is the most important issue for them is the economy and the education, because they have to be peeled.
Ben Monterosa, you mentioned education a couple of times. I just want to turn quickly to Tony again, because you're a dreamer. And just for our national and international audience, remind us what a dreamer is.
The dreamer reference came out of a bill that was introduced into Congress that was called the DREAM Act, that would allow undocumented students like myself that were born in another country, myself being from Mexico, it would allow them to join the military to earn citizenship or get an education to earn citizenship. The bill was not successful. That's where the notion of a dreamer comes along, as a person who dreams. For myself, it was being in the U.S. Marines and serving this country that I had pledged allegiance ever since I started kindergarten. You know, I think, you know, going back to this conversation about the success of the president of the United States, is that I'm a living embodiment of what action looks like. You know, I received deferred action, DACA, from President Obama, which allowed me to get my first job, start paying taxes enormously. And now I started my own company, which now employs over 40 people.
So still on the question of what's at stake, this is supposed to be the moment in the discussion tonight where I turn to John Ladd to find out what's at stake for him. John is a cattle rancher in southeast Arizona. His property is right on the U.S.-Mexico border, and here is a real-time illustration of what is at stake for John and other ranchers along the border. John actually had to cancel his appearance here with us because smugglers, as they frequently do, cut several holes in the steel border fence that abuts his ranch, so he had to rush back and find out what's going on there, at least 30 head of cattle apparently wandering loose on the highway.
Well, one thing I wanted to mention, organized crime is fueled by this lack of dealing with the immigration issue.
This is Angela Kocherga.
The border being a kind of no man's land with people. Right now, drug cartels are now the ones bringing in, they're behind human smuggling. And we had a Republican president who cracked down, doubled the border patrol, built huge stretches of fence. But he tried and failed to get immigration reform. President Obama came in and said, okay, I'll do it, but yes, okay, I'll secure the border, and I'll deport people, deporter in chief. But Congress has no will to solve this issue. It's not politically popular immigrants and immigration. It's the political piñata every campaign season, and there is no will to deal with this issue in a real way. And I think in some respects you can have people on both sides of the aisle agreeing with that, that their lawmakers don't care about dealing with this because there are no consequences until people turn out and vote and say this is what we really need, we really want, and hold these lawmakers accountable. We're going to see very little action.
Why do you think there's no will? Because when you talk about borders, you are talking something that is so existential to a country's sovereignty. It defines that country physically.
I'm not saying there's no will to secure the border, and each president has tried to do so in their own way. But there's no will to deal with the other side of the equation, the idea of organized crime and smuggling humans. And as that woman in Nogales very eloquently said, the root causes of immigration, demand for labor, huge sectors of our economy rely on unauthorized labor and lower wages. And the same thing, we have a horrible, horrible drug addiction problem in this country that's been treated criminally, and people we've interviewed said maybe now's time to deal with it as a health issue and reduce demand. So these are very complex issues, and it sounds simple, build a giant fence and stick more Border Patrol agents up there, but it doesn't deal with the real issues. And organized crime involves lots of Americans on our side of the border involved in the drug trade.
I mean, secure border is becoming a code for not doing anything for immigration reform. The bottom line is we're not going to get immigration reform by law enforcement only, by closing the border and deporting all this undocumented community. That is not what is going to get immigration reform. I am one of those guys who benefited from the amnesties of the 87. All right? I am the one that was able to legalize my status to that amnesty. Years later, I became a citizen. And the reason that I fight so much for it is because I know the feeling of living under the shadows. And I also know the satisfaction that you leave when you come out of the shadows and start contributing to this country that you call your own country, which is what I do.
We're going to take another quick break before the news and feature some more music from special guest singer-songwriter Gabby Moreno. Over to you, Gabby.
Hay un camino que nos trajo hasta aquí. No conoce las fronteras, esta pasión dentro de mí. Es anhelo el que me empuja.
You're listening to a special edition of The World. I'm Marco Werman. Latino voters in Arizona are fired up, and they're letting Trump supporters know it.
And you sit there and say that your father and your mother were from Agua Prieta, Mexico? Well, was your dad a rapist? Did he do drugs? It's an insult for you to sit there and defend this man.
Our forum with Latino voters in Phoenix continues. That's ahead here on The World. I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. All this hour, we're bringing you a special edition of the show, entirely dedicated to the issues that matter to a key group of voters in a key state this presidential election year, Latinos in Arizona. We're talking about a state that's voted Republican for 15 of the last 16 presidential elections, but this year it could go from red to purple because of a surge in Latino voters. And this is the big question whose answer will remain a mystery until Election Day. Which way will Latinos vote? So we traveled to Phoenix, Arizona this week to speak with Latinos from across the political spectrum. We met with them at a special forum we held at the Salvation Army Kroc Center in Phoenix. Let me introduce once again our guests with us on stage, Ben Monterroso with Mi Familia Vota, conservative talk show host Alice Lara, Sergio Arellano representing the Republican Party here in Arizona, Antonio Tony Valdovinos with the organization La Machine, supporting Democrats and progressive candidates, and journalist Angela Cocherga from Arizona State University. I want to open up this discussion about what unites and what divides this new America, and I think I'd like to turn now to Eve Nunez, who is running for Congress, District 7. Eve, I know you kind of describe yourself as a Reagan Republican. When you think of Donald Trump, what occurs to you this election year?
It is a difficult year for Republicans, but I just want to remind the people here and also our audience that it has been the Republican Party that has done anything for immigrants, starting with Ronald Reagan. That was the first campaign I ever worked in with my father, was Ronald Reagan, who gave us amnesty. We don't need amnesty in America today, but we do need a pathway to citizenship. And Senator McCain, who was very instrumental in working with the Comprehensive Immigration Act, I am a Republican because I'm pro-life, pro-family. I do want a border, and that's what Trump does. I believe he's very harsh. He speaks out of his mouth, but I believe he will defend America.
So let me put that question to the Democrats in the room, and we know there are several of them. How do you respond to that?
My name is Mike Taborn. It's disingenuous to claim that, you know, President Obama did this, President Obama did that, when in reality, you know, the Republicans have had both houses of the Congress for the last several years. They could have introduced all kinds of things. So as people look at interests, they have to look at the long-term interests of what is going to be important for the community, and I applaud, quite frankly, the Hispanic community for stepping up, because no matter where you fall, you have to get out and vote, period, end. And you vote your interests. And I think this election, quite frankly, the interests are very clear, at least in my mind, and hopefully others.
Let me bring it back up on stage. Alice Lara, as a woman, a Latina, and a Republican, and somebody who also used to be a Democrat, tell us about your journey from one party to the other. What changed?
Well, and I started out very liberal, believe it or not. My first election that I had, I didn't vote for Reagan. Then as I got older into my 20s, I decided, I guess I'm a Democrat because my family's a Democrat. I didn't know very much about what I was doing, to be honest. And then I started paying attention. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'll sit down and I'll watch C-SPAN unfiltered and watch what is actually on the stage and who says what and who's doing what. And I thought, I am a Republican. So I've been a Republican for a very long time.
Donald Trump, though, speaks negatively to Latinos. He speaks negatively about women. How does he speak to you? Where does he connect?
Where does he connect? Well, I think Hillary Clinton spoke very negatively to some women a long time ago.
How does Donald Trump connect to you?
How does he connect to me? Because you know what he has done? Okay, he was not my first choice. But he connects because he comes out and he will say things that people are afraid to.
Well, there's a value to candor, but what about the lack of experience? Does that bother you? The fact that he hasn't been a politician?
Actually, it's attractive to a lot of people and a little bit to me too, because of the fact that we are kind of tired of politicians. All of you there, Democrats and Republicans, what are you saying? They're not getting things done.
Tony Valdovinos, I'm curious to know your reaction, and specifically, does it feel like the drawbridge is being pulled up just as more people are trying to get over? And also, do you think your support of Hillary Clinton will actually bring about any change in your life? Why do you think she will be the key that unlocks the door to comprehensive immigration reform?
I think, first of all, what everybody is looking for is safety and prosperity. That's what people do. You know, everybody wants to get educated. Everybody wants to live in a safe environment. You know, the question is also what makes us all get along? And it's people. When we go to the hospital, we don't care who's attending us, if they're Republican or Democrat, right? When we purchase things, we don't ask if the company's Republican or Democrat. You know, we're just living our lives. And so I think there's too much at stake to continue talking about what party's fault this is. We need to get people that are younger to see it as part of their civic duty, that they need to vote, or else we're going to get people who are saying crazy things and voting on that. So
that's Tony Valdovinos with La Machine, a group that supports Democrats and progressive candidates. Tony was one of the participants in our panel discussion earlier this week in Phoenix, Arizona. We spoke with Latino voters and activists from across the political spectrum. And by the way, Tony is himself undocumented, so even though he's politically active, as you heard, he cannot vote in November. Let's return now to our forum at the Salvation Army Kroc Center in Phoenix and a point made by a member of our audience, Phoenix resident Jesse Torres. He directed his comment at the Republicans on our panel.
I find it insulting that you would say that the Republican Party and your candidates, specifically in this state, protect people's civil rights. For you to sit there and tell us now that Republicans support civil rights, that's just a blatant lie. Donald Trump has stood up on stage and said that he is going to stop people from coming in this country. He's going to just deport people from this country. And, you know, your partner there who talks about the rule of law, He's disregarding every rule of law that there is. He cannot do that. Everybody that steps foot in this country has the ability to be covered by the laws of the United States of America. And thank God for it. And you sit there and say that your father and your mother were from Agua Prieta, Mexico. Well, was your dad a rapist? Did he do drugs? It's an insult for you to sit there and defend this man, especially to me. I was from this area. 14th and Moreland was where I was raised. My grandparents, my aunts and uncles, we all lived around each other. It's amazing to me that either one of you can sit there and talk how great the Republican Party is, especially toward Latinos.
So it seems like I want to keep things moving here. It seems like a good moment to talk about some of the political divides right within the Latino community itself, because clearly it's not a monolithic thing. Angela Cocherga and Ben Monterroso, talk about those various political divides. I personally think of what I know down here, the people who cross the border as opposed to longtime Latinos who feel the border crossed them at some point in Southwest U.S. history. Explain that and what the other divides are that you see within the Latino community. We'll start with Angela.
Well, I think you can hear all the varying political views here on display and in Arizona and beyond. I mean, Latinos are not one monolithic group by any means, and their vote is not to be taken for granted, and we're hearing that, and we know that. But having said that, I mean, there's class divisions, we've got the newcomer and longtime natives, but we're seeing from our reporting out in the field that this one candidate who is the Republican nominee has been able to motivate people, or at least they're telling us they're motivated, to register and to say they're going to turn out to vote. And there's two key groups that are talking about this: Latino millennials, who make up a huge portion of the overall Hispanic vote, have come of age and have grown up in Arizona and seen some of the politics and decided they're going to vote. And we see a lot of legal U.S. residents who have in huge numbers decided to become U.S. citizens because they want to vote. And these are people who have waited for years and decided, finally, I'm going to do it. Now, some of them may not get the chance because there's a huge backlog and they may not get to vote. But these are groups who are telling us they are going to turn out, they are going to vote. So is demography destiny? Is it going to happen this election? It really all depends on who turns out.
So, Ben Monterroso, there are also economic divisions. Many Latinos often can't vote because of poverty and practical issues of just the time to do it. Then there's also a more affluent, established Latino vote, and I'm wondering if there's any evidence that suggests they're more likely to vote a certain way, and what does affluence have to do with it?
Well, let me just say, to emphasize, the Latino community is a very young community still in the country. 1994, just to make a reference, there were 4 million Latinos who voted nationwide. 2012, close to 12 million Latinos voted nationwide. Today we are 27.3 million eligible Latinos, which argues that some 17 million are registered, and this year we're going to be voting 13 million. Keep in mind that 44% of those eligible Latinos are millennials, which is the hardest community to get out to vote. I'm very proud to say that aside from the numbers of people becoming citizens, aside from the fact that in this state, we, as a group that we work together, wanted to do 75,000 registrations for the Latino. We over now, the second goal was 100,000. We passed that, and now, I don't know, we're going to end up at 120,000, which just means more Latinos are registered to vote. But equally important, something that has to be noticed, Latinos like Tony are Latinos who are leading the movement, people that sometimes cannot even vote. This country very shortly had to deal with the consequences that our community is here to stay. Now you need to govern with us in it. Sooner, I hope that we govern with you in it.
So Alice Lara and Sergio Arellano, I mean, I'm curious to know, as we talk about the divisions within the Latino community, where do you see that slice in the Venn diagram where the two sides start to unite? What are the issues you turn to when you say, this is what we can build around?
I'm going to start this off, if that's okay with Sergio. I think there are a lot of things that unite us.
in our culture, in our family, in pro-life. I think the majority is still probably Catholic and Christian, wouldn't you agree? And I'm looking at Ben because he's dealt with so much of the populace and vote. registered everybody to vote, right?
I'm the elder in this graph here.
But we do. We have that culture. And I just want to take this opportunity because my dad said this is really a great thing. He said, you know, America is the greatest country in the whole world. Even right now, this, you know, we have our problems, but we're still the greatest country in the whole world. But nobody owes you a damn thing. Nobody does. And I don't want to toss it to you, Sergio.
You know, where I see we bridging the gap, the divide, or coming together is what we all care about as Americans. When we're out there in the community, when I'm out there, I can tell you, when you're going out to the Donald Trump rallies and you're finding the people that are saying, oh, I can't vote, but I'm anti-Trump, well, you got to also come over to the side where you see all these Latinos, all these Hispanics coming out in droves saying, I'm pro-Trump. I remember on primary day, I was standing out at one of the polling places because we're trying to get the vote out regardless of party. And this old anciana, you know, an older lady comes up, and she's got her walker, and she's inching up to the polling area. And she sees me with my Republican get out the vote stuff, my hat, and, you know, I have a banner and stuff. And the lady comes up to me, and she says, you're Republican, huh, mijito? And I just hung my head. I'm like, yeah, I'm a Republican. You know, I was waiting for a scolding. And she points her finger at me, and she looks at me, and she says, go Trump. And I said, wow, we're in Nogales, Arizona, right by the border, and someone's abuelita, someone's grandmother just told me, go Trump.
What was her reason?
Her reason is jobs. Her grandson right now is stuck living at home because he went to school, got his degree, has over $50,000 in debt, and his grandson can't find a job. He's forced to move in because his parents aren't in Mexico. He's forced to move back in with his grandmother because there are lack of jobs and there's a lack of growth in this economy. The thing that unites us when we're out in the communities, regardless of party, is we can all agree that jobs need to be created.
That's Sergio Arellano, state director for the Republican Party in Arizona. And before him, we also heard from conservative talk show host Alice Lara. Two of the participants in our forum earlier this week in Phoenix, Arizona, where we spoke with Latino voters and activists on both sides of the political divide. We're going to hear from all of them one more time in just a couple of minutes about the issues that really matter to Latinos in this year's election. First, though, another musical interlude from our special guest this hour, singer Gaby Moreno.
This next song is called Bird That Migrates, Ave Que Emigra.
Vengo desde muy lejos, buscando el azul del cielo, siguiendo predicamentos. Vengo desde muy lejos, recuerdos desde mi infancia, que a veces parten el alma. Mi guate nunca la olvido, oh, oh, la llevo siempre conmigo, cansados de estar corriendo. En tiempo de cacería, alzo en alto mi vuelo, como el ave que emigra.
Some beautiful sounds there from singer Gaby Moreno. Coming up, more from our forum this week in Phoenix, Arizona, as we continue with this special edition of The World. I'm Marco Werman, and this is a special edition of The World. We were in Phoenix, Arizona earlier this week, focusing on the issues that are at the top of the agenda for Latino voters there. Arizona has been a red state for several election cycles now, but a surge in the number of Latino voters this year could turn the state purple. In other words, it's a toss-up, forcing Democrats and Republicans to really listen to what Arizona voters are saying. And that's what we wanted to do with our panel discussion in Phoenix. I'd like to turn once more to the panelists for a final thought. With just a month ago before the election, please give us each a brief parting shot. We'll start with Ben Monterosso of Mi Familia Vota.
My only thing that I would say finally here is that the future of this country is in the hands of the Latino community. And I think that we're not going to be electing who just the president is, what kind of country we want to live in it. And final, I think that after this election, we have a lot of work to do. I mean, definitely we are a divided country. Whoever wins is going to have too much work. And I just don't want to continue to come back to this kind of meetings and blame the elected officials when often we, the voters, need to participate a little bit more. So I do hope and I commit to work with you all to make sure that in the Latino community, it's not about participating in elections, but it's participating in the civic life of this country. We need to make it a culture, because if we don't do that, elected officials are going to forget about us and they're going to continue being elected.
Conservative radio host Alice Lara.
Just, again, thank you very much for this opportunity. And I want to kind of segue on what you said, Ben, because I believe a lot of what you were saying I agree with. The Latino community is going to be a very powerful voting bloc if we do it, if we actually participate. But more important than just voting is to become an informed voter. All of you who came here tonight, I credit you with at least doing that and listening to us. Yeah, you may have booed, okay, that's okay, in your hearts, but that's okay. Because it's so important to go out there and not just listen to one person. And thank you again very much, Marco.
Thank you, Alice. Sergio Arellano.
Marco, thank you very much for agreeing to host this panel, to have us here. People of the audience, thank you for showing up and allowing us to share our points of view, what we're seeing in the communities, and the ability to relay to you what I see and give you a firsthand experience. My parting shot here is going to be, look at what's been happening for these past 8 years. If you feel that the policies and the direction that this country is headed in is the one that has served you the best, go ahead and vote for the candidate that's going to continue those same policies as they have been for the past 8 years. If you're tired of a lack of jobs, if you're tired and you're ready for a change from someone who knows how to create jobs, vote for Donald Trump.
So that's a final thought from the Republican side. And Tony Valdovinos, final thoughts from the Democratic side of things.
I think final thought is, look, the beautiful part about this country is that we are set up in a way where we get to speak our minds and outwork each other and deal with the result, right? We talk about the last 8 years and this rhetoric of how everything's just gotten worse. It's actually gotten better. We can look at the numbers. We can look at the jobs that we've created. And we got a choice to make. We got somebody who is incredibly seasoned in one of the most important jobs in the globe. We got Hillary Clinton or we got Donald Trump. May the odds be forever in your favor, and let's see how this all works out. But we're going to work hard, harder than ever, and we're going to continue working. So,
cool. We noticed a fist bump between Sergio and Tony there.
I had to give the guy props, so what can I say?
A final parting shot from Angela Cocherigo with the Borderlands Project at Arizona State University.
Well, thank you so much. I hope all this hard work pays off, and whatever the party affiliation, I think all of us can agree here on the stage that the goal is, or whether there is no party affiliation, independence. If Latinos turn out in huge numbers, as everyone's working to ensure this happens, once and for all, flex their political muscle at the ballot box, these candidates will no longer be able to ignore this community. And then those voters, in turn, will have to hold the candidates, including the president-elect, accountable.
Well, thank you to all of you on the panel for helping to drive the conversation here tonight. A big thanks as well to all of you in our audience who came out for what I think has been a really valuable discussion. I also want to thank the members of our Facebook discussion group, the Global Nation Exchange, for helping get the word out about tonight's event and helping us frame the discussion. You have been listening to a special edition of The World, a forum we held with Latino voters and activists in Phoenix, Arizona earlier this week. A month out from the November general election, it was a chance to hear about the issues that are driving the discussion in Arizona and could determine which candidate, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, wins the state's 11 electoral votes. Thanks to our partners at the BBC World Service, who are also broadcasting this forum, and to our hosts at the Salvation Army's Kroc Center, who made us feel right at home. Also, thanks to our friends at station KJZZ in Phoenix for their help. The last word today goes to our musical guest in Phoenix, Gabby Moreno. I'm Marco Werman. Have yourselves a great weekend.
There's a place where I've been told every street is paved with gold, and it's just across the borderline. And when it's time to take your turn, here's a lesson that you must learn. You could lose more than you'll ever hope to find. And when you reach that broken promised land, every dream slips through your hand. Then you'll know it's too late to change your mind. You've paid the price to come so far, just to wind up where you are, and you're still just across the borderline.
PRI, Public Radio International.